So my name is Ronnie Sarman. I come from the southern part of Switzerland. You can slightly hear from my slight Italian accent. And today I will present to the Windows Azure, so our cloud platform. I will take you through a fairly complex demo, but I want to show really how far we got in only 2 years of getting this platform. So what is cloud computing? And there is a lot of definition, a lot of blah, blah. For me personally, it's a smarter way to hosting. So it's something that I want to acquire things when I need it, release it when I don't need it anymore, and pay for what I want, and I really use it, and don't pay for unnecessary capacity. But also, I want a platform that is managed by somebody else, that I don't need to take care of the network, NLB, server, patching, Windows update, right configuration of SQL, right configuration of IIS, and so on. So for me, that's one important piece of the cloud, is getting the infrastructure that I need completely managed by somebody that can do a real good job on that. There are various definitions, and one is those three definitions. One is infrastructure as a service. What Amazon does is offer you hardware. They give you hardware, and you need to create, configure, manage your OS, and so on. Then there is the complete opposite, the software service, Salesforce, Gmail, Hotmail, Office web apps. So you get a finished, vertical application that you can use and develop and on top and so on, but mostly a finished application that you get in, you can use it. And then there is in the middle. So when you have your own application, but you want to get it run as cheaper and as smooth as possible. And that's what is platform as a service. And that's what is Azure for. So in this table, you really see that the only things that you need to take care on Azure, so on the platform as a service, is your application, is your code, your solution. The rest is Microsoft taking and managing for you. So that's a big, big saving if you compare to an infrastructure as a service. You have a lot less work to do with a platform as a service. And that's the goal. Why you should configure IIS? Why you should configure SQL Server? We know how we can do it. And we can make it much, much cheaper than every single customer that is going to configure and optimize those platforms. Good. So what is Windows Azure? At the end, it's basically two products. It's a database, SQL Azure, and a compute, virtual machine, storage, and so on, called Windows Azure. And I will explain both of these things. Good. So let's start with the database. So the idea of SQL Azure is a database that you connect, you create your own database and so on, but you don't manage. You don't manage the machine, you don't need to apply patches, security, and so on. We do it all for you. So it's very, very simple to use, yet very powerful and capable. So one design goal of the SQL Azure is always available. So the first design, when we designed this database, say, let's do it like this. Every time you save something, we have a three copy of that data. So in case hardware failure, disk failure, data center failure, we always have your data and your database live for you. That's pretty cool, right? So think about if you want a fault-tolerant SQL Server, it's a kind of complex and kind of tricky things to do, either with DB mirroring, clustering. It costs. You need some skills to configure here. You do nothing. I create a database. I got already a three copy. Something fails. You simply retry the connection, and you get to a new SQL already with your data. That's pretty cool and easy to do. So let's start with our architecture. We will have all the solution from here on in the next 1 hour or so. So we have on top the cloud with a database. And we know now that we have a three copy of this database, right? Automatically. You don't need to do anything of that. So the first thing I can do if I want to, I can directly connect to my SQL. So I can use the normal tool, the normal .NET things, and so on. So what we are trying to do as a first step is move a local database to the cloud and see how complex it is. So let's show a demo. Good. So I create a super complex application, and basically it's using a database, it's a news website, it's simulating the MSN news website, and you can see here is my database model, super complex, oops. You can see many tables and so on, that's my skills. Three columns, that's it, to keep it simple. And then I have my ASP.NET pages, page, one only. And here the interesting part is only here, actually see, I connect to the database through Entity Framework, get all the news of today, bind it, and then in ASP.NET, super ugly code, what I do, I simply show the title body, title body, title body. So let's run this application locally, a more local database and so on. And voila, you see, I have all the news from today. Actually, it's a week ago news because I started to prepare a week ago. Okay, very simple, small database, small ASP.NET page. So let's start to move it in the cloud. So first, let's start SQL Management Studio, the normal one that you use, and connect locally to my database. And here you can see, here somewhere I have my MSN news database with my super number of tables and complex relationship, one table, three columns. And here I can quickly export it for Azure. So what I can do, I can say here in task, generate script. And here we make it super easy for you to do it. You say, yes, I want the full database, yes. And now here we do it very, very hidden for you. So you forgot to do that and you will have problem here somewhere, really, really small. You can choose, I want to have an Azure database. So it's a bit tricky to find. Here it's very important. The only thing I need to select is SQL Azure. Then I don't want only the schema, but I would like the schema and the data. So we have also the news. Okay. And then, yeah, I don't want to make SQL better. It's already very good. Then I say next. It's saving the file. I exporting my data down. So now I have a file that I could execute against a cloud database. So let's go on the cloud and create my database. So I'm going to win in the new management studio for Azure. It's a Silverlight application, pretty cool. Can click on the database. I can see my server already created. I have only the master. I want to create a new database. Here I have really nothing to think about in which disk partition, which RAID, and nothing. I simply say, I want to create a new database. I call it MSN News. Which size do I want? So you can say business, you can say I want a web edition, and here you pay only for the one that you choose, and from the time that I start it until the time I delete it, so I can do some test database and so on. So yes, create it. In a few seconds, you see, it's not asking where I want to place the file and so on. Nothing. Database is ready. So now I can say, please give me the connect. Oh, I don't want to manage the database, sorry. I want just to have the connection string here, so we get the new connection string, voila. We are ready. So now let's try to connect to this database. So I can go here, I can say I want to open my script with a new connection, so let's go and grab my script that I created. And now it tells me where I want to connect. So now I can choose my database, and you see it has this really strange name, but you see it's in the cloud. Voila. Voila, and let's say, tap in the password. I want to connect to the master because I want to create, I want to connect to the MSN News, connect to the database, I have my script, execute the script, and I have my news data. So now what I did is a small database, so it was quick. I move it from local SQL to the cloud. Very, very easy to do. So now what we can do is go and change the connection string of my local application on the web config to use this database. So here somewhere there should be a connection string, voila. And I paste the one that I just created. The only thing I need to do is to add my password here and view that I know that somebody will connect to this database and hacking during my presentation. I simply disconnect the projector quickly. It happened to me. One, it's not fun that somebody's dropping your database while you're demo. You never know. I know we are all friends, but better be safe. Okay, I change only the password. So I can run my application locally now, it's connecting to the remote database, and you see the news. Of course you don't believe me that I did, right? So I show you changing some data on it. So we have also a new tool in SQL, in the Silverlight management part, that I can say, I want to manage my database. So here I can go, see the structure of my database, connect it. So I could do it in Management Studio, but then I need to install the tool and so on here. I don't need any tools at all. I can see the table, news. I want to see, here it should show the structure, and I can see the data, and I can say news da azzurro. Voila. So I change my data on the cloud. Bang. Now let's rerun my application. And hopefully, if I didn't fake it, the connection, you see news.zero. So pretty simple. We got the database in there. So you don't need that many skills. We get the tool. They're easy to use. We are in the cloud, the three replica database. So already one thing less to think about, all this complexity about how I manage a SQL server. There is a patch on SQL. We do it. It's transparently. We take one of these replica out. We publish to another one, we do the patching and back. You don't even feel that. So that's really, really cool. Good, we have done the database. Now, the other big piece is Windows Azure, the compute, where I move my web server, my back-end application, whatever piece of code I need to run. And basically it's composed by two things, a compute, virtual machine manager, and a storage. So let's talk about the virtual machine manager. Here, basically, you get automatically a load balancer, and you get basically three types of role. A web role is basically internet information server for you, already configured, ready to rock. A worker role, the idea is you can run whatever batch system, run logging transaction, whatever you want to run in there. It's your code. It's like an anti-service if you want. And then a new one, we just launched, it's called VM role. The idea is those two, you configure, we configure it for you, you get it already ready to rock. This one, you can do whatever you want, or almost. So let's clarify a bit that. So the idea is like this, you have three levels of roles. So one is the one that you don't do any administration on it. You get it, and the first demo I will show is exactly that. You get it, you run it like this. So you could take the administration right if you want, but if you don't do it, it's fine because we do the patching, we do the configuration for you. So you don't need an administrator. You save cost there. The second one is exactly the same rule, but suddenly you want to script some settings, you want to remote desktop on it, do some changes, you can do it. And the third one, the VM role, is really the idea you prepare the virtual machine yourself. You create a Windows 2008 R2 virtual machine, you configure whatever you want to have it in there. And then you update there. Of course, here, we do the work for you. Here, you need to patch it yourself, because if you configure something in your Windows 2008, we don't know what you do. So that's the important thing. So your control, here you get free and mean. Just important, the VM role, the goal is not to install SAP, install whatever application you want to. The goal is if you have a complex solution that requires some specific components that take maybe 2 hours to install or something like this, it's a very easy to do that. But it's still a network load balance solution. You need two servers, you need to be identical. So the idea is not install whatever you want. So just to make it, porting some current .NET application that will be harder to do it without that. So it's really important you manage that, and also no durability of OS images. So you need to save the data and so on somewhere else. That's the model. That's why we can scale out. We can start new virtual machine. We can patch and so on. Just an important point out. Whatever role you want, you can choose the size of your role, and you pay for that. So that's pretty cool. I can start with a really small, single core, not big amount of RAM and so on to test it. And then I have a lot of traffic. I have a big site. I take an 8-core machine with 14 gig of RAM. You get it. You pay more per hour. And you pay really per hour. So if you run it only for 2 hours, you will pay it only for 2 hours. That's really cool. You can choose the type of machine that you use. So we show you in my demo how it works. So here is the current status of our Super News website. Let's move on. The idea is I get a compute area in a data center. I upload my application. It will start a virtual machine. It will connect to my SQL. And then I get for free the firewall configuration, the network load balancer, and so on. So, of course, I can start multiple instances, and then it will do load balancing, get to the various server, and I can easily scale out my website, and I will show you later how to do that in a very powerful way. So let's do that. Let's move our local web application to the cloud and see how complex is that. Good. So go back. First thing I want to do, I want to go in my management and go to the hosted service. And now here I close down a bit what I have. And I want to create a new hosted service. And let's call it South Steve Ballmer, whatever. Good. And now here the first cool thing you can choose in which data center you want to put it. So I can have some server in US, some server in Europe, some server in Asia Pacific. It's simple here. So now I say South Central US because it will be a US application or whatever. Don't want to deploy at the moment. Just let me go here quickly. Create one. So now what it's creating is creating a space in a data center for me. In US in this case. I have some in Europe, so this one is in Europe. I have some more in the same data center, so with names. So here, in a few seconds, it will be ready. And so I can move and start to create my application for the cloud. Good. So let's go in Visual Studio. So how I need to change my application to go to the cloud is fairly easy. I can go in here and say, I want a new project. Once you install the Azure template, I want to do, yes, an Azure application. Let's call it Azure Project 2. Classical naming. Good. And here, the last thing I need to do is fairly easy. Add new web role. So the current one that I have in the solution. So yes, the news website, it will be published on Azure. Here you have some configuration things that I don't want to go through. But there are one thing that is important. If you double click here, what you get the instance count. So I want 8 server. I type in 8 server here. I want an 8 core machine. I can take the extra large machine if I want to, and so on. You can configure the endpoint and so on. So it's very easy. Now let's just double check that my data center is ready. Yes, it's ready. So now what we can do, we can start the publishing process. So let's do the publishing process. Let's quickly rebuild my application. Connection already goes to the database. So I can do publish, and it will tell me, oh, you want to connect to the cloud? Yes, I want to use my Azure account. It will search for the current data center that I have. So I want to put it in the staging of my South Steve Ballmer data center. I can configure remote desktop if I want to. I'll show you later that one. And so now I click OK. And that's it. What it's doing is going out, connecting to the Azure data center, and start to create a virtual machine. So I take a 2008 virtual machine, inject my code, start it on a single core machine in this case, or dedicate a core for me. So I want just to take the process of that. So with that simple set, what you get, and I have my past, so before Azure approach, and it was like this. You get the box. You open the box, you get a server. So you need to take a server, put it here, some cabling. If you manage, there will be some CD that you need to install. And of course, as soon as you start, it will start patching Windows. It will take hours. You get something to do phone calls if something goes wrong. But also, you get a nice motherboard and say how many cores you want. You can choose how many cores and install it and so on. So that will be the approach, current approach to do the thing. So what here is doing is really creating a machine for you, configuring the OS, and all set. You do nothing about that. So that's really, really cool. And if I want 5 of this machine, I get 5 and I pay for 5. That's the really huge difference compared to doing yourself, configuring and so on, or if you go to a hoster that you get one single dedicated virtual machine and so on. So that's really what is going on behind the scenes of this application. So as you can see, here it's trying to start the deployment and so on. You see, acquiring the node, it will take a while, it takes about 5 to 10 minutes to get a machine up and ready. Good, let's move forward. So, at the end of the day, the only thing that you need to understand of my session are those two things. You get a database, extremely easy, and you get an IIS virtual machine dedicated to you very easily in a couple of clicks. But hey, there's not only easy application, I just need one server or two servers. I want to do some more complex solution. I want some scalability, some performance out of that, and so on. So let's go to the second part of my presentation and really take you through those parts. One thing for people already using Azure today, it was a bit frustrating. We didn't offer full IIS support, so you could not install smooth streaming, you cannot install redirect module and so on. But also you cannot use something that you find people practical, is a quick web deploy. I do a quick change, I deploy, I test it, I do, especially when I'm testing and developing, it would be cool that I use Azure also as a development environment. I don't need a server in my house to do development, performance, stress tests, and so on. So one thing new that we have it is this interactive cloud deployment through web deploy. So let's do that. So let's take the next step and try to quickly deploy something. So to speed up the demo, I already deployed the same application as before here. So you can see I have a single machine here running. And actually here it's pretty cool because you can set things like, for example, which operating system. So the patching and so on by default is automatic. We patch it for you. But if you want to switch operating system, you need to choose it, right? You don't want that suddenly tomorrow you get a new OS. So here you can choose it and say, no, I want to migrate to R2. And then, okay, you apply and it will take down one of machine. You can configure what is the flow and when. And we will upgrade your OS for you. So you can upgrade it in the staging, do some testing. It runs well on 2008 R2 and you get it. So that's also pretty cool. Good. So here we have a website. You see this is the URL of my website. So I can web deploy in there. So now I go back to my solution, and let's quickly just change something. I can say, I want to say response.write, and maybe date time now to long time string, something like this. Cool. Very complex coding. I'm finished, so I'm simply writing on. So I quickly test it locally. I can say here, test it locally just to make sure I didn't do any mistake in my code. So it should be here somewhere. And now you can see I have my date time coming up here. So now I want to publish in the cloud with this quick publish mode. Instead of waiting 10 minutes that I reboot and re-image, I simply say go to this website, so my staging environment, with my connection strings, publish, boom. We should get in a few seconds. Voila. I go back to my management, I say I want really to check if it got deployed on the cloud. Bam, bang, voila, pretty cool. So we can move forward. So for testing, it's very quick because I can use this machine and simply quick redeploy. When I'm finished, I do a real Azure deploy on many machines on production. So this is really the flow that people will use. Good. Let's move forward a bit. So now, you've seen that. I use IIS, I use SQL, but there are more services around Azure. And one of these things is storage. So it turns out that people want to store things. And could be images, could be data, could be tons of things. And so we offer those kind of storage mechanisms. But it will be, in my opinion, very stupid that you need to get a virtual machine, pay for CPU, pay for usage an hour to store file, right? Or to serve JPEG, HTML, static content. It will be not really efficient. It will be also expensive and also complex in case if you have multiple machines. So here we have multiple services. We have blob, tables, queues, drives. today I want just to talk about one is the blobs. So blobs, you can think as a big file system. In fact, it's unlimited in space for you. We continue to add capacity. It's redundant. We have the same copy, so we have three copies of your data. Anytime that you change, update, delete, whatever, we replicate three times. So this is very secure and powerful. But the cool thing is acting also as a normal web server. So you can use it to serve static content. It has HTTP API to access that. So this is the idea. Imagine I have 4, 5, 6 front-end machines for my website. I will need to replicate my picture 4, 5, 6 times. Inefficient. Every time I change, I need to synchronize all 6 machines. I pay for storage. I pay for CPU serving. So there's always a cost serving an image out of my virtual machine. So it's really not an efficient way to do. So what you could do, you can move to the storage and simply take some space in the disk. It's replicating 3 times. Move the image in there and change the path to get directly there. So the code running, it comes from the compute. The images, they come from a static storage. So that's very efficient and much, much cheaper, because here you pay for how much you store, super cheap, and you only pay the bandwidth. You don't pay any CPU consumption and so on. So that's very efficient and nice way to do. So my website, I know, is a bit boring. So it's a news website, although it's MSN, but yeah. So let's spice up a bit. View that is also politic. I create a nice politic application. It's a pivot about the Swiss parliament, that you can choose who is in the Swiss parliament, how many years there are. And guess what? There are many pictures, so every parliament has a high-resolution picture. And also, it has some interactivity in that. It's built in Silverlight. So I could deploy in my web application, but it's really not a nice way to do it. So let's do it the nice way. I can go here in my storage management, and you can see I can see it as a file system. So I create a new folder. Let's call it SB Azure. I create this folder, and this folder, I will enable public access. It means those one is public to everybody. Classical for asset, JPEG and so on, image for your website. Okay? Now I go, I grab my Silverlight application, and I move it there. I say transfer. It will upload it on the cloud, so it takes a couple of seconds, just enough to drink. That's too quick. And so now, if you go here and you do a refresh, you can see I have the file here. Now I can right-click and say generate URL. I can say view it in the browser. So you see it's downloading the XAPP. So it's fully accessible, this image, or in this case, this Silverlight application. So let's go in my website and change it quickly. So I want to add this application somewhere here. Let's go and grab my Silverlight code to start it. And you can see here is a Silverlight application where the source is not defined yet. So I can go back in my storage and say, I want this URL and simply put it on my source parameter of Silverlight, and you will get the Silverlight code directly from my storage. So pretty cool. I don't need to copy, don't need to deploy. In fact, I can simply restart my application locally, and I should get this pivot. So if everything goes well, cool. I have my pivot. It's loading the pivot. All the image asset is coming from the storage. So I want to show the Microsoft pivot technology in Silverlight. It's really cool. So you can see already all the parity that there is in the Swiss parliament. But I can say, no, show me by how old and young there are those people, or how many years they are in the National Rat. So this, I think, is basically sitting there for years. You can see, I'm not really good in politics, so I don't want to offend anybody, but this is the idea. But you can also do some kind of cool things. You can say, oh, I want to see what they voted about the UBS finance crisis. And actually here, I want to see only the yes and no, for example. So I can say, I want just to see then yes and no. You can already see by the color which party has voted for what, so that's pretty cool. Or I can say, yeah, but I'm just interested in the young people, what they voted, and so on. So you can go in, you can see it's high resolution, very quick to move around. So It's just pretty cool technology to analyze tons of data. So that's already make some more traffic on our website, right? But I don't need to care how many servers because it comes all from storage. Now, looking at the news, I saw something even better. This Berlusconi in there, right? So Berlusconi, we need to add some young girls in there, right? So if not, he's not happy. So I have another application that I've done for Swiss Television and MSN. It's a Miss Switzerland project. So the idea is another Silverlight project. It also uses Windows Azure for performance. And I simply copy the code in there, show it quickly what it is. So you see, actually I show it here. It's coming from Azure, same concept as before, but this is around 6-7 gigabytes of JPEG in the back end. So I can run my application, it will load it, and you can see that, oh, near Berlusconi, we have some young girls. That's kind of matches. Just want to show what it is. It's a large panorama. I can zoom in to the girls. You can zoom to the candidates. So here are really high resolution picture, and you can see the speed is quite cool. And if you're not happy with this view, you can also rotate them. So it was a fun project to do if you want to watch. She was okay, that's enough. Cool. So just to show you, it comes all for storage. It's pretty quick, but we will even improve more this solution. So you've seen, so far, we got that quite good. We have a database, we have storage, and we have IIS. Did I do a lot of work for that? Not too much. Did I need to care how much storage, how much disk? How should I do the NLB and so on? No. So that's the idea. Good. So, it turns out that one thing is that people ask, why I cannot connect to my server, right? So we say, yeah, if you want to, you can remote desktop into your server. You configure, you say which accounts, how long it stay alive, the account to admin, and so on. So that's pretty cool. So I thought, I have an idea. I want to show to do something strange. I want to stress test. You know, I have girls, I have politicians. Sounds a lot of traffic going to my website. I want to see if this Azure blah blah really scales. They always say scales. I want to prove it. So the idea is I could create here some server, try to configure the crap here, or simply say I start an 8-core machine, I remote desktop in it, I install a stress test tool, and I use this one to generate load. So that's exactly what I did. I start a new virtual machine. Is a worker role, I can take a web role, so already got the OS, everything configured for me, so let's use it. So first thing to do, I want to finish my application. To stress test it, view that the SQL is very fast due to the large amount of data that I have, 7 rows. I want to slow down a bit my application. So something you should not do is add a sleep. And I don't slow down too much, so just 20 milliseconds for every request is wait a bit more. So, rebuild, quick publish, right? So, I can go here, publish, da-da-da, should work. Incredible, so far no problem with the demo. Should not speak now, I should wait, but okay. Now I go back to my website, click it, get it from the cloud. The new version, what it will have? It will have the tool part, so the pivot, and of course the Miss Switzerland candidates, and that's it. So I'm ready to test it. So what I do, I go to my, actually let's close this one. Yeah, I want to close it. And I go here, and I can see here I prepare it on another, in the same data center, a worker role, and here the difference of this worker role is using 8-core. So I pick the big machine, so I don't need to have multiple machines to stress test. So now what I can do, I can connect remote desktop. Password, hopefully it's the right one. It will connect to my server, so now I will go in my Azure. So now I'm in Azure, my 8-core are running. And here I want to show something kind of funny. You don't pay license, right? You pay per hour. You don't need to care about license. You know why it's quite cheap? Because we pirate Windows. I can show you. So your copy of Windows is not genuine. So that's a way to save money. Oops, Steve is already gone, so I still have a job. And so we are fixing that. So if you start 2008 R2, it's already away. So now I have a stress test tool. I say I want to simulate 20 concurrent users that continue to hammer my server. Here I have the profile. It calls only the page, and you see it's using that URL. So that test server that we set up. So now if I run it, it will need to warm up a bit, and we should show or see here how many requests. So you see 30 requests per second. It should go faster. Voila. And so slowly, as soon as you warm up the server and the NLB, it should stabilize around 280, 300 requests per second. As you can see, I'm not using too much this machine, so it's kind of realistic. So even with the sleep and all the blah, blah that I have it in there and the request to SQL, I can serve around 300 pages per second. On a single core, I took the small machine here, just to show it. So now it's stabilized. I could run it for hours. It would run around 280, 300 requests per second. Oh, pretty cool. Nice performance. Hey, but those guys, they continue to say, Azure, you can scale it. It's easy to do and so on. So let's try to move it in the next step. So here's cool, 300 works, stop. Let's go back and see what we can do to increase my performance. So the first things to understand is really classical in many, many business that you don't have the same load every time. You have Christmas time. Think about it. I always do the example of Comparis, right? Comparis, October, November, December, a lot of traffic. January, probably less, right? Or let's say Roland Garros website. I'm pretty sure that during Roland Garros, highly traffic. A month after, nobody goes there. So, or their other business. During the day, I have a lot of traffic. During the night, almost nobody. So I could start a server during the day, kill it in the evening, restart in the morning, and so on. So save money, but always adapt. So this is really the cool way to do. So now, one thing that it turns out, if I want to stress test and do testing, it would be cool to have a second copy of my database, right? It would be stupid to test the production database. No, they will not be really happy. So how complex it could be. So the cool thing, we have a feature that you can do, CopyDB, so I can create a database as a copy of the current one. So the idea is very simple. I copy the database, I change the connection string, and I'm done. So for testing, or if I have a database that is static and I want to have a lot of traffic on it, I can clone as much as I want. So let's do this DB cloning. Let's connect to this database. So I connect to my server, engine query, blah, 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 blah. And here I select to the master database, connect. Cool. Now we don't have a UI yet for this, so I need to type something. So I can say create database. I'm really good at typing, so what it will be, cloned MSN new, so the new database name as copy of, and it will be MSN news. So with these things, I say, oh, take one of the replica that we have around, copy it over, and start a server for me. So, and I pay from when I start to when I drop it. So execute, say command successful. We can go back to our management, go to look at the database, do a refresh. You will see it will slowly come online. You can see it's still zero, so it's still starting the database, but I already have the database, so I can go and change my connection string. So I go here in my web config, somewhere here, where is connection string, don't want to show you, the password, if not, now I already create the idea. Okay, cool. So that's it. I will need a couple of seconds more to start it, but then I will show you use the clone database. So with one line of SQL, I have a copy of database. No backup, restore, blah, 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 blah. Wait, call my DB guy, please. Oh, I don't have time. I need to go buy flour for the wife, whatever he needs to do. Cool. So next step. So we have a copy. We can start off stress test. But I want to improve performance in every possible way. So one thing, we know we use this nice storage for image, but you know, with Miss Switzerland, Berlusconi and all these things, we will have a lot of traffic. So one thing that you can do is to enable content delivery network. The idea is to have cache server around the globe, and right now we have 20, one is even in Zurich, that can cache my image for, by default, 72 hours. And guess what? There's absolutely no cost compared to simply use the storage. You simply pay the bandwidth. That's pretty cool for video streaming, images, and so on. So if the same image gets from US, it will be cached on a US server. So how it works, you enable that, and then it will happen something like this. I have two CDN. The guy is in Zurich. He does a request to the CDN Zurich. CDN Zurich say, I don't have this image. He get it from the storage. He save it there as a cache for 72 hours or whatever you configure. And from the next request on, only the CDN Zurich will do. So we save worldwide bandwidth. We have even better performance, lower latency, and it's super, super easy to configure and to use. So that's, again, another service. You don't need to use it, but we have it for you, and it can even improve more the performance. So let's do that. So I go to my management studio here and pick up storage account. And you can see I have the various account, so I can take this one and say enable CDN. So in a few seconds, yes, I want to enable. You need 60 minutes to propagate worldwide. So that's why I already pre-created for me, and I have this URL. So the URL is very important because I can show you exactly how it works. So let's copy the URL, and let's go analyze the Miss Switzerland project. So here, this is a Miss CH structure, and there is the 360 image, and let's take the winner in, Kerstin, and go to the image, and you see for every angle we have the images, and for every image we have soup JPEG, so in here we have for every tile a JPEG. So if I do like this, generate URL view in browser, I can see, and of course I took the back, I didn't want to. But here, the interesting thing here is here. I can simply swap out this URL with my CDN, and this picture will come from Zurich instead of, in this case, the image I store in a Europe data center, so Amsterdam. So I change it here, the URL. Bam. Voila. Refresh, and it comes from Zurich. So now, view that I developed this application with that on mind, I can go back to my web application, go in here, see the Miss Switzerland, and you see I can get either the Silverlight application, so let's change this one, from the CDN, and also get all the images from the CDN. So that's it. I simply change the source server and automatically get from the CDN. So now I can start my application. Should be here. It gets my Miss Switzerland from the CDN. So the first time it will load through the network to the CDN. Can zoom in, can watch the winner in, and you can see I can zoom, and the same things, and very, very fast loading the tile and so on. So the next one going in there, you will get directly from Zurich instead of from the Amsterdam data center. I know mostly male, so it matches the things, but I know there are some girls in there. So I organized to get something for the girls too, so I got a nice model, really fit. You can see as soon as you turn her, you get really a nice model with really nice curves, you can see. So horrible, and nice shoes and so on. But just to show you, you can also have fun on the job. Cool. Just to show the speed, you can really get mad if you want to. Cool. Good. Show the demo. Show how to enable CDN. Very easy. One service more that you can use. Okay, next one. I'm almost there. So, yeah, that's a short. So, the next thing I can use it is still in CTP. So, this part is beta, not yet released. What would be cool also to have caching server. So, a lot of people building web applications, so on, they recognize, yeah, it's you know, news website, why should I query every second for every request what are the latest news? Could I query every 30 seconds? Or could I query only when data changes and store the result HTML somewhere? Yes, we have something since .NET 1.1, I think it's called output caching. But as soon as I have many servers and the parameter changes, it would be cool to have an external caching engine, where it's dedicated only to cache data. Data or HTML fragment and so on. And this is what is Windows Azure App Fabric caching. So the idea is simple. You move the cache out of the web server to a dedicated farm. There is a product already existing, the Windows Server App Fabric caching. You need to configure a server, decide how much RAM, a lot of blah, blah, patching and so on. Here, a couple of clicks and we get cache. And with caching, we should also get a lot of performance. Another good thing is if you create application that use session state, you should not do it, and I tell every time, but if you have it and you want to have multiple front-end server to scale out, what you can do, you can move the session state to this app fabric caching. So again, it's another configuration. So this is the idea. We get caching server from Azure. We configure it. And so at every request, if I cache it, it will store the HTML, already the result of my page, directly on this cache and serve it from the cache. So this is how it works. And we want to test the performance of this part, right? We want really to check if it brings something or not. So let's go back to my management portal. And here I see my caching. So in my caching, you see I already have one, but let's create a new one. I say I want a new server. Let's call it Swiss Cache. Sounds good. Probably nobody has ever thought about creating one in US called Swiss Cache. Right now, you can only do it in the data center in US. That's why I place my web server there. It's beta. As soon as it's released, you can create in every data center that you want. It makes sense to keep it together with your web server, right? It would be stupid to move the cache across the globe. You can say a match size and create. Now it takes a few seconds or maybe a minute to create. So we start activating. So it's reserving a server farm for my caching. So now I can start to configure my application here. And here on the top, I say I want to use output caching. I say every 2 or 3 minutes or so, you should requery. If not, don't do the requery. So percentage. And here I say output caching. Output cache, yeah. Duration. Here you can configure tons of things. I say for 400 seconds, you should keep the cache. And vary by parameter equal known. So it's always for everybody the same. So I configure my cache. Now I simply need to use, they say, move out of this physical server to the cloud. And there you need to do it in the web config. So I can go back to my management studio here. It's activating. So I look at the configuration of this one. So I have a config section to add. So it's pretty easy. You copy. And it's copy-paste development. It's very easy. Bam. I say configure that. Yes. Then here at the end, you can choose. I want to use the session state. So if I want to move the session state, you add the session state provider here. Or in this case, the output caching. So we take the output caching that simply say to the ASP.NET engine, please use the distributed cache as I configure on top. So that's the only thing you need to know. I don't even read those config files. Simply copy in. It works. So go back. Let's see if it's activating. It's still waiting. Let's wait another few seconds. If not, oh, cool. So this is a live demo. I really get the connection string. So this is really the connection string with the security and so on. I show you quickly. Cool. Copy in here. And I say, you should use this Swiss cache server on this port, and this is the security configuration to get access to it. Pretty easy. Let's run. So what I expected, how do I check? You remember that I put the time? when it's rendering the page. So now it should not change the time anymore. So if I run this application, and hopefully it's connecting to the cache and everything works well, and I didn't do mistake, cool. Now, this time should not change. So if I do a refresh, you see, I'm in caching mode. Cool. So now that I have this cache, let's check the performance. Did I gain something with that? Of course, it doesn't do too much, so the gain will not be massive. But still, we should be able to see quite a bit of a performance. So we rerun the test against the same test machine. We run it, and hopefully, after a bit of warm-up, it should scale up more. Did I call the page? Go up. What are you doing? Ah, yeah, I know what I did, though. Did I deploy the application? Of course not. So it's useless to compile it here and not publish it on the cloud. So let's do that. Small error. Cool. Now I have the version with the cache. I want to double check that it's really there and it's running. So let's go back to my URL here. Click this one. And also here, you see now it's starting up the IIS things. And now if I refresh it, this one also have the cache. So hopefully, yeah. Cool. Doesn't move. So ready. Let's hope that now the tests work well. We run the test again. It should warm up a bit, the new deployment. And then as soon as it's connecting, we should see a spike. Hello. Spike it. It's worth. Oh. Grow, please. We are getting there. Now it's dead. And so finally, it should start to run very well. Cool. Going up, going up. So it should stabilize around 500 requests per second. Remember, before was around 300. So again, almost the double of speed. And the more query, the more engine that I have in there, the more work he would have done, the more this difference will be big. And I didn't move it on kernel cache and didn't do any special optimization. A couple of lines. So now I know a lot of blah, blah. Last thing you say, yeah, I want really to see this one running on multiple machine, right? You can go in, configure, start multiple machine. It will take a while for starting. Plus, I'm already using quite a bit of this machine, so it will be not possible to test 8 servers or something like this. I will need to have multiple stress test machines. Something that I can. But let's do that. Let's go back. And I publish exactly the same solution in production already. You see here production. Using 2 machines instead of 1. So now if I click this one, I should get exactly the same, but with a production URL. So you can see, it doesn't have this strange URL. It should be cached. So see, it is not moving anymore. It's exactly the same with all the nice feature, the lady, Berlusconi, all in there. So let's stress test this one and see if with 2 machines I can scale out. And in theory, I would expect almost to double the performance with 2 machines. So, and it depends on the cache behave. We should get a good performance. So let's go and change the server that I'm hitting here. Instead of using my strangely staging test, let's call it, it should be SouthCHIWAS. Let's double check, not do strange mistake. SouthCH, cool. Let's run it again, warm it up a bit, and you will see I use the machine a bit more, so that's already a good sign. And you can see it's around the double of performance. It depends a lot on the data center, network, a lot of the caching that is still beta. But you see, simply switching, I will need to wait 15 minutes to get the second machine started, and I get almost the double performance. So pretty cool. And now I'm paying from now on, or when I started, until I shut down this machine. So you can see, we say a lot of blah, blah, scalable, easy to use, fully managed. But I think in this 1 hour, I prove exactly that. That with a few tricks, you need to learn a few things, you can get very powerful platform where you don't need to care. The only thing that you need to care about is your own application. And so that's really the important message. Good. To conclude my session, what about pricing? So the database you pay per month, so it's billed per day. So for a 1 gig you pay 11 francs. So it means like, I don't know, like 30 cents per day. Remember, it's a fault-tolerant database, fully managed. I put another example, 10 gig. We have up to 50 gig. We will increase even more sizes in the future in the next coming months. Plus you pay the bandwidth, but the bandwidth's only going out. So in this case, the server is in the same data center, you don't pay any bandwidth. Compute, you already seen the table before. You pay per hour, and really is per hour. So you start it, you stop it, you pay per hour. Storage, you pay per gigabyte store. So imagine just to store the Mischweiss project, 7 gigabyte is almost not even a francs per month. So it's pretty cheap. And then you pay the bandwidth. That is also quite cheap, the bandwidth, compared to other provider. So what it costs, 1 hour of the test that I've done. So if you started at the beginning of my session a meter and you stop it, it would have cost 3 francs. That's pretty cool. A stress test using multiple cores. I use, I don't know, in total 13 cores. I use 2 databases. I have the original and the clone. I use bandwidth. I use tons of things, and it cost me 3 francs. So try to replicate the same stress test and get 1,000 requests per second at home. I bet you will spend a bit more time and a bit more money to run this one. So this is just to give you an idea. So to conclude, where you should start. So the cool thing is we have offering that you can test Azure for free. You will get the slides, so you can click on this, you can register for free. You have a basic subscription, get 25 hours of compute power for free, 500 megabytes of storage, 1 gigabyte database. If you are a partner or if you are an MSDN subscriber, you even have more compute power for free, so you can really test and so on before taking. But hey, imagine that you use a bit more, you pay these 2-3 francs and then you simply delete it all. And you don't need to pay a monthly fee, a regular fee. You cancel, you delete your deployment, and that's it. That's really the elasticity of these things. Last offer I want to throw in, for a limited period, we have something going on of a cloud innovation center here in Zurich, where people can come and discuss about their solution, if it's a good match for Azure, what it will take to move this application to Azure, what is the right service to use, and so on. So if you have application that will fit Azure, or you are not sure it will fit Azure or not, you can simply register on the website, and you can come in Valizen and have 2-3 hours with one of our experts discussing the possibility of move your application on Azure. Perfection time, ready for lunch. I thank you very much for your patience. I will be around on the lunch area, so you can bother me with questions or why I'm deinstalling here and putting my crap back. And thanks a lot, and I hope you enjoy the Azure presentation. Thanks.